Welcome to the deep dive. Ever stop to think about civic responsibility, that thing we all kind of share, and how maybe surprisingly, it could actually make you vulnerable?
It's an interesting thought.
Well, today that's exactly what we're diving into, jury duty scams. It's a really fascinating, pretty urgent, and sadly, quite common threat.
Yeah, they're definitely out there.
They basically weaponize a core part of our justice system against us. So, our mission today is simple. Give you the essential info to spot these cons, understand how they tick, and really importantly, know how legitimate courts actually operate.
Right.
We want to turn that, that fear into informed awareness using the great source material we have.
It's absolutely crucial. These scams are, well, they're widespread, and honestly, they can be incredibly convincing.
That's what's scary.
Exactly. And they play directly on that sense of duty, our desire to, stay out of trouble, and sometimes just pure fear. Understanding the why behind their tactics, that's the first step to taking away their power.
Okay, so how do they do it? How do these scammers manage to turn something like civic duty into a weapon? Let's pull back the curtain a bit.
All right.
These jury duty scams, they usually start with some kind of unexpected contact, right? And it feels urgent. Often it's a phone call,
Yeah, mostly a phone call.
but sometimes an email or maybe even a text. And the scammer, right away, they're pretending to be someone official. Like a court officer, a U.S. Marshal, sheriff's deputy, some kind of law enforcement.
And they can sound convincing.
Oh, totally. And here's where it gets tricky. They might use real names of actual judges or officials. They might even spoof the phone number.
The caller ID trick.
Exactly. So it looks like the call is coming from a real courthouse or government line. Then comes the pressure.
The intimidation factor.
Yeah, aggressive language, threats. It's all designed to make you panic and act now.
And what's really fascinating in a disturbing way is how well they use that fake authority and urgency. It sort of short circuits your critical thinking.
Makes sense. You're scared.
Right. Their main claim is always, you missed jury duty, and now, big trouble. Immediate arrest, huge fines, maybe even jail time. And to really dial up that pressure, they might text or email you a fake arrest warrant just to make it seem more real.
So it looks official, even though it's completely fake.
Precisely.
Right.
But the goal isn't just to frighten you, it's about getting two things:
Yeah.
your money and your personal information.
It really is a masterclass in, well, psychological manipulation, isn't it?
It
They
is.
try to stop you from thinking, from checking things out, almost like they want to empty your mental defenses before going for your wallet.
That's a good way to put it.
So they create the panic, they threaten arrest. What's the end game? What's that big flashing sign that screams scam?
It almost always comes down to the payment demand, specifically how they want you to pay.
Untraceable methods.
Exactly. They'll ask for payment in ways that are super hard to track or get back. We're talking gift cards.
Like Green Dot, iTunes, those kinds.
Yep. Any of those. Or cryptocurrency. Maybe wire transfers like Western Union or MoneyGram, sometimes even payment apps.
And if we look at the bigger picture here.
Well, this demand for untraceable payment, it's practically a universal sign of fraud. Not just for jury scams, but almost any scam.
Why those specific methods, though?
Because they're like digital cash. Once you send it, it's gone. There's no bank you can call to reverse it, no fraud protection usually. It's fast, it's anonymous for them, and basically irreversible.
Okay, so money's one goal. What about information?
That's the other major target. They'll try to get sensitive details, your social security number, your date of birth, maybe bank account info.
Under what pretext?
Oh, they'll say it's to verify your identity or check court records. But really, it's for identity theft down the line.
It sounds so obvious when we lay it out like this, but I can absolutely see how someone caught in that moment of panic.
Might just comply, yes.
What's the biggest sort of mental block people hit when trying to spot these, even with all these red flags?
That's a really good question. I think when you truly believe you're talking to law enforcement, especially someone threatening you with immediate arrest, your brain kind of kicks into fight or flight.
Yeah, panic mode.
Right. And that panic just overrides your normal skepticism, your logical thinking. It makes you much more likely to just do what they say.
And that's why they try to keep you on the phone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They'll insist you stay on the line while you go buy the gift cards or set up the wire
To
transfer.
stop you from thinking?
To stop you from thinking, from researching their claims, or most importantly, from calling the real court or police. They'll invent reasons. The office is closing soon. The warrant will be served any minute now. It's all about keeping you isolated and panicked.
Okay, but here's where we can fight back, right? The crucial part that just blows their whole scam apart. We need to cut through that noise and understand how legitimate jury duty communication actually happens.
This is key.
The main way, the absolute primary method for any official communication, like your actual jury summons, or even a notice if you did miss jury duty, it always comes via U.S. mail. Full stop.
Always.
Paper trail. Official. You will not get some random, unexpected phone call or an email or a text demanding you do something immediately because you missed jury duty. That's just not how it works.
Which brings up a good point. Why don't courts demand quick payment over the phone?
Yeah, why not?
Because it's not procedure and it's open to abuse. The simple truth is, courts and law enforcement agencies will never call you up demanding immediate payment for missed jury duty. Never by phone, never by email.
So if there are fines?
Fines, if they're imposed, only happen after you've had a chance to actually go to court and explain yourself. And any legitimate demand for payment will always be in writing, sent through the mail.
Okay, so really, no calls or texts for the first summons, or even if you missed it. I mean, you might think with technology, courts would, I don't know, modernize a bit.
It's a reasonable question, but no. For something this legally significant, they stick to the former verifiable process, U.S. mail. It ensures proper notice and creates that essential paper trail. It's a safeguard, really.
Got it. And what about asking for personal info?
Same rule applies. Real court officials will never ask for your social security number, credit card numbers, bank details, none of that sensitive financial stuff over the phone or by email. They just won't.
And that really scary threat, the immediate arrest. Does that ever happen via phone call?
Absolutely not. Zero chance. A legitimate arrest warrant is always served in person by a real law enforcement officer.
Okay.
They don't threaten it over the phone. They don't email you a PDF of it or text you a picture. That is a critical, critical difference for you to remember. Call threatening arrest. Scam.
Right. So knowing all this, what does it mean for you, the listener, if you actually get one of these sketchy calls or emails?
What should you do?
First thing, be decisive. Hang up immediately. Don't argue. Don't engage. Doesn't matter how real or scary they sound. Just hang up.
Resist the urge to talk back.
Exactly. Second, protect your stuff. Do not give them any information. No personal details, no financial details. And absolutely positively, do not send money using whatever method they're pushing. Gift cards, wire transfers, crypto, just no.
And then, what's really essential is independent verification.
Mm-hmm, okay, how?
If some small part of you is worried, thinking, what if this is real? You need to check your jury duty status yourself. But, and this is serious,
don't use their info.
Do not use any phone number or website link the suspicious caller or email gave you. That just leads back to them. Instead, you need to find the official contact information for your local clerk of court or the federal court.
How do you find that safely?
Go online, search for your state's official judicial branch website, like here in North Carolina, you'd look for the NC Judicial Branch site, find the official phone number for the Clerk of Superior Court in your county, and call that number directly. That's the only safe way.
Okay, hang up, don't pay, verify independently. What else?
Import it.
Ah, yes. Reporting is vital, right? Not just for you, but to help stop them from hitting others.
Exactly. It helps authorities track these scams and warn the public.
So, where should people report?
You can contact your local sheriff's office. Definitely report it to the state attorney general's office here. It's the NC Attorney General. Or you can call their hotline at 1-877-5-NO-C-SCAM.
Good number to remember.
Also, file a report with the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC. Their website is reportfraud.ftc.gov.
Okay.
And if the scam involved the internet at all, like email or maybe a fake website link, report it to the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center, known as IC3. That's at www.ic3.gov.
Okay, that's a good list of resources. So the takeaway here really is being alert, being knowledgeable, that's your best shield against these scams.
Absolutely.
Knowing how the real system works compared to the scammer's playbook, that's your superpower here. Thanks, everyone, for joining us for this deep dive. Hope it helps you protect yourself and just, you know, have some peace of mind.
You know, this whole thing, it really reminds us that, yes, our civic duties are important. They're fundamental. But so is keeping ourselves safe, especially in this digital world we live in.
That's a great point.
Maybe think about this.
Yeah.
Consider how the tactics these jury duty scammers use that impersonation, the fake urgency, demanding untraceable payments. How might those same tricks be used by other fraudsters in totally different parts of your life, maybe completely unrelated to the courts?
Something to think about.
Yeah. Just stay aware, stay vigilant, and keep thinking critically.